Okay, so yes, we're gonna continue on the theme of identity for today. As you've heard already, identity is super important. Identity, identity, identity. So one of the biggest attacks on young people, and I appreciate Amanda calling me a young man. I don't know if that's true or not anymore, but one of the biggest problems we face in our culture, our society, our world is identity. The world has an identity crisis. And so, I'm not a believer of demons being behind every tree and rock, but I will say that there's a clearly coordinated attack on our culture today that is rooted in identities. And so I do believe that the enemy will do everything he can to convince us of a false identity. There's many ways that he can do that. There's many ways that it presents itself, whether it's, certain things that you believe about yourself. So Will talked about authority and how we've been given authority to become children of God. We have to be cautious about who we grant authority in our lives. There are, teachers, there are people that we look up to, celebrities that people follow, that they're gonna say things about individuals. They're gonna say things about all of humanity. They're gonna try to tell you that life is this certain way, and more specifically, how you've got to act, how you have to be, how you have to believe, because that's a huge part of the times that we live in, right? If you believe different than I do, then you're wrong, and not only are you wrong, you're a bad person, right? And so we need to make sure nobody listens to you. We call it being canceled, and it's a real problem in the world today. But those people do not have authority over your identity. They don't get to determine who you are. Okay? As Will talked about last night, we're not even in charge of our identity. Identity is already predetermined. So we have obviously a physical identity. As much as I would like to be, 6'3", my dad, the last of 11 kids, all the genes ran out, and so, I'm stuck at 5'8", 5'9". But I can't do anything about that, right? That's just how I was born. But a spiritual identity is so much more important than our physical sense of who we are. It's so much more important. And, as Americans, I think we're all American here, most of us, right? We have an issue with identity because we live in a system that's a merit-based system, meritocracy. Now, in the natural, that's a good thing. If you don't get a job, you don't work, you don't deserve to have a lot of money, right? We shouldn't be rewarding people for laziness. But sometimes we get too much of that in our heads, and we want to relate our spiritual identity to that same kind of system, right? And so sometimes it's very difficult for us in our Western culture to accept the fact that God loves us just because that's who He is, right? We're not earning. You cannot earn your identity. You can't work for it. You can't strive for it. You cannot change who you are. We can change our behavior. We can change some circumstances. We can change who we hang out with. But our identity is determined by God. And so the system that God has in place, remember, as Americans, we believe in democracy and we have a constitution and we have different things that we live by. But we have to understand that God's kingdom is a kingdom. It's not a democracy. It's not anything else. It's a kingdom, and God is the king. The reason it works is because the only king who is a good king all the time, 100% of the time, is God. God's the only one. And so I want to shift our thinking from looking at people and evaluating them based on what they can do, for us, what they can provide society, the way that they live their lives. We need to look inside of every person and see the value that God has placed in them. God has, when he looks at you individually, he sees his creation and he sees value and he has a plan for our lives. So, my first scripture is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And here it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that anyone can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So, last night at one point, Will asked, what does it mean to be a creation? What is a creation or new creation? That passage right there shows us exactly what it is. We are God's handiwork. So I think of a work of art. I think of something beautiful that has been crafted. I think it's amazing. You know, there's like when I see people who can paint pictures, it blows my mind, because I got a C minus, I think, in like seventh grade art. I was not good. Couldn't tell you the first thing about painting or anything like that. So I'm always in awe of people that can really do that. Obviously, I play music, so I understand art, but when it comes to images, I can't do any of that stuff. But God has created you for a purpose. He's created you as his masterpiece. This is not some new agey thing. This is not just a feel-good thing. Obviously, it feels good to know that you are God's handiwork. But it's very important, because you guys face things that, you know, so I've been out of school for almost, 15 years or something. And so I lived in a time where we didn't have smartphones in high school. They came right after that. And you guys faced things that no previous generation has faced. The fact that people can share pictures of their ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend, and all the things that happen on Snapchat and different things. You guys are faced with evil at your fingertips that is so easily acceptable. And so it's more important now than ever to understand who you are in Christ. And so you are God's handiwork. Now, in verse 8, where it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God." When we look at that verse, when he says, "not from yourselves, it is a gift of God," he's not talking about the word grace, because that's redundant. Grace is, it's unmerited favor. It's what we don't deserve, the divine influence upon the heart. He's talking about faith. Even the faith that God requires is a gift. What you do with it, that is your choice. But God makes it as easy as possible for us to come to him, to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. He provides us with the faith. Everybody is born with a measure of faith, even people who don't believe, but they put their faith in the wrong place. They put, or their faith, it lies dormant, different things like that. But faith is given to us by God. There's no way you can save yourself. There's no way you can you know, people talk about turning over a new leaf, becoming a different person, yada, yada. There's no way that we can do that on our own. It has to be born of God. And so we are born from above. And so you are his masterpiece, his work of art, and he has created each and every one of you for a purpose. It's not the same purpose. It's the same goal. We're on the same team, but we have different purposes. And we cannot fulfill the purpose that God has placed in our life if we don't understand our identity. So, I want to talk about some examples of false identities. Things that maybe people place on you, maybe certain things that you have placed on yourself. This is the greatest lie of today, is false identities. Now, this should not be political. Unfortunately, it has become that way. But I want you to understand that if you struggle with some of these things, in no way is this a judgment on you. I'm not saying some things that I'm about to say because I dislike people who deal with these things. I'm not saying these things because God is a righteous, holy God and he just cannot stand sinners of a certain sect, right? But if I care about you guys at all, then it's my responsibility to share the truth of the word. Some of the things that you guys are facing today are false identities, such as gender identity. Now, I understand we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt, right? There's churches on every corner. And a lot of people think that's a great thing. I actually don't, because what happens is that most people, if you have three churches on one corner, a lot of times they used to all go to one church and then somebody got offended and they split off and now they've got their own little clique. But the enemy does not have borders. He doesn't have borders. He doesn't say, I'm going to only stick to one state over here and another state over here, one state up there, and we're just going to leave middle America alone. Okay? That's not how it works. So I started subbing last year, most of the time in McDonald County High School, and I'm starting to see some of the things that I'm about to talk about crop up even there. So again, this is not supposed to be political. This is not supposed to be any sort of judgment. But because I care about you, I care about the future of my daughters, I have to tell you the truth. Because you are being lied to on a consistent basis. The enemy will try to tell you, or maybe if you've never dealt with this, maybe a friend, family member, that you are not what you were biologically given, okay? The enemy wants to confuse people, especially young people. He wants to confuse you. God is not the author of confusion. And so some of the dirty details in this particular false identity, this gender identity, gender dysphoria, some of these things, and I'm trying to be as careful as I can, because on the one hand, the world will crucify you for speaking out against this. On the other hand, the church has failed to stand up with a spine and say what is really going on. What they don't tell kids, and many kids even younger than anybody who's here. In other countries, it's starting 4, 5, 6 years old. They're told that you can be whatever you want to be, not in some inspirational way. You can be a rock star. You can be a professional athlete. No, they're saying you can change your identity. What they don't tell you, though, is what these people, the people who have gone through hormone therapy, people who have gone through surgeries. What they don't tell you is that for the rest of your life, to try to be something that is different than what created that than what God created you to be. So, for example, if you're a man and you transition to a woman, what they do not tell you is that the suicide rate of trans people before surgery is in no way reduced post-surgery. They do not want to tell you that. They want to tell you that you feel a certain way, you identify as a certain way, and it's not your mind that's wrong, it's your body that's wrong. And so they have begun to even allow young people to go through surgeries that, despite what they say, is irreversible. They are left with irreversible damage. I watched an interview with a girl. She was speaking with a psychologist named Jordan Peterson. She was, at the time of the interview, I think she was 17 or 18. She detransitioned, right? And this is something that they try to hide. There are people who have gone all the way to the other side, done everything they can to make their bodies appear the way that they think they should, and they've realized what a mistake they had made. This woman, she said when she was 13, she thought she was supposed to be a man. She felt like a man, and she wanted to be a man. She had no desire to have children. All through to the time that she had surgery. And so she thought, okay, yeah, things are gonna change. My body's gonna change, and once I get this change, everything is gonna be fine. Right, I'm finally gonna be at peace. You know what happened? As soon as she went through those surgeries, all of a sudden she had a desire to have children, to be able to one day breastfeed her children, and that was taken away. Irreversible. She had infections. The point of this is that there's always the Holy Spirit talking to people. He's always talking to us. But some of us, and we've done it, we've all done it at some point, tried to silence or push to the side that voice. But every person who has lived has heard from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is constantly calling out to people, drawing them to Jesus. And so what the media, what society, social media tries to tell people is this is the way that the world should work, and there's no such thing as truth. There's only your truth. Tell your truth. Tell your truth. We don't have, you and I individually, we don't have ownership of what the truth is. We don't get to make our own realities. We can get into an echo chamber. We can surround ourselves with people who think exactly like us. And so we can convince ourselves of that we have a truth, a certain truth. No, you might have a perspective, but truth comes from God. God is truth. Again, I'm not saying this to discourage anyone. I'm saying this because this is an area today where people are being lied to. They're being lied to. So, people who feel like they were born in the wrong body, they will not tell you that the suicide rates pre- and post-operation are the exact same. It solves nothing. It fixes nothing. There are people, young people and even old people. I've seen older folks, some that were in their 60s, who have talked about how this ruined their life. But that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to lie to you. And not only does he want to lie to you, he wants you to begin to lie to yourself, telling you that it's okay, you know better than anybody else who you are, how you feel is your reality. And I'm just going to tell you, the world is waking up, and eventually we're going to come to a point where we look back on this whole discussion in a similar way to how we look back now and look back toward slavery. It's going to become a point in society, in history, where we look back and we say, what in the world were we doing? People are waking up. Now, it's not just about a trans issue. This goes on to sexual orientation. You may be thinking, well, God made me this way. No, see, we are all born into sin, right? And this is why I'm not judging, because even though I've never had any sort of attraction to men or thought that I should have been a girl or anything like that, I'm not judging. This is not coming from a place of me thinking you have to think exactly the way that I think or you're a threat to me. No, this is, I care about you and I want you to understand that the identity that God has given us is extremely important. So, no, God didn't create us a certain way, just like God did not create Jeffrey Dahmer to be a murderer. God did not create Jesse James to be a bank robber. God didn't create us for any kind of sin. We all struggle with individual temptations. The way that I'm tempted may not be the way that you're tempted. I grew up in a pastor's home. It was not nearly as sheltered as my dad. When he grew up, they couldn't have TVs. My grandma went to hell because she read National Enquirer. So it was nothing like that. So I never got into drugs or anything of that nature. It's just, it wasn't the way that I was tempted. I was tempted in other ways. Did you know that lust for the opposite sex is just as wrong as lust for the same sex? Okay? Same issue. I was tempted by religion. I thought that I could maybe not earn my salvation, but it was my job to maintain it. And so it caused me to look at people in a way that is just despicable. You know, like, I would never do that. I would never sin like that. Let me tell you something. Don't ever say, well, I would never fill in the blank. I would never steal. I would never kill. I would never this or that. Because our faith is not in us. Our faith is in Christ. He is the one who gives us the power and authority to live a godly life. What other false identities are there? There's this identity, and usually this comes from other people, outside sources. It may be a teacher, it could be a parent, it could be someone who you've looked up to that said, you're always going to be a loser. Maybe they've said, you're a member of this family, and this family has never amounted to anything, so get used to it. That is a lie from the devil. And it's a lie that he wants to pass on to you to keep repeating so that you expect nothing but bad things in your life. That you expect nothing but failure. So that you will expect nothing but poverty for your entire life. There's another example of false identity. And that's related to, well, you know, my dad was an alcoholic. And my grandpa was an alcoholic, and so there must be a generational curse. Every curse is broken through Jesus Christ. There's no curse hanging over your head. The only thing that is close to it is our mindset when we believe those lies. If you were born into a home that is dysfunctional, that's been dealing with drug use, alcohol abuse, different things, that does not mean that that's who you have to be. It's not determined. Your future is not determined by the bad things that have happened to you. I know people that have, I have friends. The best man at my wedding, he never really had a relationship with his dad. And when he was a teenager, One time he went home. I don't know if it was after school or his work or whatever it was, but he showed up to his mom's house where he lived, and she greeted him with a shotgun. This guy, on paper, had no chance in life. No chance in life. He had no example of a father in his life, and the one person that he trusted for safety, security, and love kicked him out and made him homeless. What is he today? Today he's earned his doctoral degree. He is in a very high position in Christian education. Even though he had no example of a good earthly father, he raised a son who graduated college. I still don't think he's even 20. Graduated college at 16. And his son loves him very much. He's only been married once. I'm telling you, he saw exactly what not to do in his life, and he was scared that when he became a father, how am I going to do this? Through Jesus Christ, he overcame all of that stuff. You are not what your parents have done. You are not the mistakes that you have made. You are not the product of a broken home. Even in the physical sense, you may see that. It may feel that way. But you are a product of what God says about you. You're a product of what God has declared over you. And to shake free of these false identities, we've got to listen to the one authority who determines our identity. You want to know how God feels about you? Read what he has written about you in his word. That's how you find out who your father is. That's how you find out what your future is. Remember, Jeremiah, it's written that I know the thoughts that I have for you. A bright future of hope. They're not bad plans. God has not designed you to fail at anything. God has designed you and destined you for greatness. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So the life I now live in the body, I live because of the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Another passage, Colossians 2:9-10 says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity, that's just a fancy word for God, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Christ you are brought to fullness. What does that mean? You're not lacking anything that you need for a godly, powerful, successful life. People may stack the deck against you. Others may put labels on you. Others may put fear in you. Other people may say that you don't have a chance, that you don't have a shot. But Christ is the head over every power and every authority, and it says that you are completed in him. You don't lack anything that you need for this life. You may feel like it. You may feel like, God, I don't have enough faith. God, I don't have enough consistency in my prayer walk. Let me tell you, the Apostle Peter told us, you have been given everything that you need for life and godliness. You may say, I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a job. I don't have parents who love me. I don't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I don't have this or that. The truth is, no matter what you feel about your circumstances, the truth is that you've been given everything you need. So you need to ask God for guidance. How do I use what you have given me to overcome in this life? Got to try to hurry this up. See, I normally preach on like Sundays to adults, and so I can preach as long as I want, and they just go with it. I understand being your age, you don't want to do that. Okay, so how many of you have heard of the prodigal son, the story, the parable of the prodigal son? That was not a hypothetical. Has really nobody? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, good. Don't feel pressured. Okay. So, funny thing, there is no story of the prodigal son. The story is the story of a loving father. We focus on the prodigal son, but what we're going to focus on today is the loving father. So I'm going to summarize some of this so that we're not going too long. Okay, so the prodigal son, the son who left, the son, the selfish son, the lost son, whatever you want to call it, right? So this wealthy man had two sons, and the younger son said, hey, dad, you're just, you know, you're not dying quick enough. I need my money now, right? I want my stuff. I want my division of the inheritance. Pretty cold thing to do, really. But the father does it. He's like, okay, here's your half, and you can go and do what you want. So if this were an American story, modern day times, he takes all of his money, goes to Vegas, blows it on cocaine and hookers, and then he's living in a ditch. So this son, who has been given everything, given things that you and I, you know, I don't know about you, my parents were not wealthy, they're not rich. I was not lacking, but I didn't have just anything I wanted. This guy had everything he could ever want. He goes out and he blows it, and he ruins his life. He ruins his life. And so he finds himself, he's feeding pigs to try to get some sort of income, and he looks at the pig food, and he's like, you know what? This is actually starting to look pretty good. That's when you know you've hit rock bottom, right? When pig food looks good. I mean, pigs look delicious, but their food, not so much. So he decides, I'm gonna get up and go back home and see what I can do to at least have a better living circumstance. So I'm picking up here in Luke 15, verse 20. He says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way from home, his father saw him. And his heart went out to him, and he ran and hugged his son and kissed him. Then his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now watch what happens here. Actually, watch what doesn't happen. The father said to his slaves, hurry, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, because this son of mine who is dead and is alive again, he was lost and is found. What did not happen there? The father didn't even address the stuff that the lost son was saying. Nope, didn't care. That's not what I'm here for. I don't love you more just because you came and said this. The younger son came and he spilled his guts about everything that he did wrong, and the father was not even focused on that. The father was not saying, okay, well, but there was this other thing that you did that is hurting me, and so I can't let you be here. No. Nothing separated that son from that father except for that son's mentality and his belief about himself and his father. Incorrect belief led to him thinking that this father would actually let him live as a slave or a servant. It wasn't reality. It was his own mentality. And so they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. Now, in my life, I have identified with the older son in this story. So, now his older son was in the field. As he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the slaves and asked what was happening. The slave replied, your brother has returned and your father has killed the fattened calf because he got his son back safe and sound. But the older son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and appealed to him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have worked like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your commands. Yet you never gave me even a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, he didn't say, when my brother, when the son of yours, there's a division there in his mind, who devoured your assets with prostitutes. You killed the fattened calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and everything that belongs to me is yours. It was appropriate to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. The angry brother, the older brother, said, dad, I've done this for you and I've done that for you. And I have never disobeyed you. I've never went against you. I've never wished you were dead. I've never said, give me what's mine right now. You never even gave me a skinny goat for all of this time that I've been a good son. The father is telling his son, you're not allowed to work for that goat. I will not allow you to earn that goat. I will freely give you something even better. And that's the only way that you're going to get anything out of me, is because of my goodness, not your goodness. That's how God the Father works. He's not going to, you're not allowed to work for that goat. You're not allowed to work for your salvation. You're not allowed to work for your identity. You're not allowed to work for any blessings of God. God blesses people because that's in his nature. That's his identity. And the identity that we have created for God has been one where you work and you work and you work and you press in and you press in and you pray and you convince God and you twist his arm till a blessing pops out like a slot machine. That's not God. In the beginning, in the garden, Adam and Eve wanted for nothing. God gave them everything they needed. It wasn't until they ate of the forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil that they had to work for what they got. Because they wanted to be like God. They wanted to understand right from wrong. That was never God's intention. God's system has always been one where he blesses you. He takes care of you. He looks after you. He plans your amazing, successful future, your redemption story, whatever it is. He has always had that for you because that's his identity. And so I had to learn that. I had to learn, you know, God doesn't love me or bless me or make me more anointed because of what I can do. Because I can do nothing. Let me tell you, the people who think that they are most righteous are people who are doing things in secret. They have bad attitudes. They have bad things that they speak over other people. They look down on their brothers and sisters. And that's not the way that God wants us to be. I'm not allowed to work for my identity. He says, everything that I already have is yours. So I know I'm like running super, super late. We got to get going. But I do want to just have a time where I can pray over you. If you would stand, I know that we've got things that we've got to do. If I could just maybe have somebody play a guitar or something. We're not going to be here a long time. Father God, I thank you for all of the campers that you've brought here this week. There's other places that they could have been. There's other things they could be doing. But God, I believe that you had a desire to see them here. We all come from different backgrounds. We come from rich, from poor. We come from Christian homes or unbelieving homes. We come from various different backgrounds. But God, I know that your desire is that they would be here this week so that they could have a clear picture of who you are and a clear picture of who they are. God, I pray for those who are struggling in any of these areas, anybody who has believed the lie that they weren't created in the image of God, that there's been a mistake, that they were born in the wrong body, that they were born in the wrong house, that they're destined for failure, that they're destined to continue on a family legacy of drugs, alcohol, poverty, stealing, all of these different things. God, I pray that this morning your Holy Spirit right now would convince them, overwrite what has been written on their hearts by other people, by the enemy, by their circumstances, by their fear. Overwrite that. Give them a new perspective that lines up with what you have said in your word. Statistically, in this group, just statistically, we know that there are some who have dealt with all of these different kinds of issues. And maybe they've just resigned to the fact that this is how I'm going to be for my entire life. I can't fix it. I can't change it. Well, we know, God, that no, they can't change any of this stuff. But you can. You can. And I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit right now would convict them as believers. Because you said you convict the world of sin. But us who believe, we who are followers of Christ, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our righteousness. That even if we struggle with homosexuality, if we struggle with pornography, if we struggle with our gender, if we struggle with various temptations, none are better, none are worse. God, I pray that you would convict them that because of their faith in your Son Jesus, that's not who they are. They are destined for greater things. They are destined to be overcomers. They are destined to be a new generation that is going to grow the kingdom, God, because we know that your kingdom does not retreat. Your kingdom is not waiting to throw the earth into hell and save the good few. No, the Bible said in the prophecy that there was a rock cut out, a rock that was not made by human hands, and it came and it destroyed the kingdoms of the earth, and it grew into a mountain, and the mountain grew until it filled the whole earth. Your kingdom does not retreat, and your kingdom needs people who understand who they are, that they are sons and daughters of the Most High King, that they are, their identity is in Jesus Christ. Lord, give them that confidence in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every thought, every voice that comes into their mind that says that they're not enough, that they have to be, that they have to be a certain way because that's how they were born. No, we've been born from above, and God has a bright future for us. Convince them of that in the name of Jesus.